You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Michael Massing says the Midwest is often ignored or oversimplified by the mainstream media. On today's Underreported, we will look into why coverage of the American heartland is becoming even thinner. Mr. Massing joins me now to talk about his recent article that he wrote about the situation for the Columbia Journalism Review. Also with us is Tori Ekstrand, Assistant Professor of Journalism at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. I'm very pleased to welcome them both to our show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Now, Michael, major news networks don't totally ignore the Midwest, do they? What sorts of stories are they most likely to cover?
Well, I think that, the Midwest is in terms of elections, has become such a critical factor in determining the outcomes. We've seen that certainly with Ohio. We have Iowa is always the caucuses there. So I think that people are always interested in sort of taking the pulse of the heartland in that context. So around election time in particular, I think that you find much more coverage going on there. But I think it suffers from the fact that it's not more regular because, going in sort of in the weeks or even months before an election is very different from having a regular coverage of that region.
And then the other stories we get generally are the decline of manufacturing, Detroit in trouble, that sort of thing. Tori?
Yes, I would say, business stories are probably, at least on the national agenda, what it is. The rest of Americans are hearing about the Midwest. The decline in the auto industry, most certainly the housing market. But I think the thing that I raised with Michael when he was here visiting was the notion that these stories had been going on for some time before the nation sort of turned its attention to the Midwest and said, hey, what's going on there, folks? And we'd been seeing this here for well over a year by the time it hit the national news agenda. I think there was some coverage in the business publications who would pay attention, but beyond that, not a lot.
Isn't there a reason that national news outlets are based in New York, Washington, and Los Angeles? That's where most of the news is made, isn't it?
Well, I mean, certainly you understand why a news organization would want to be in New York or in Washington. I'm not saying that that in itself is something to be questioned. It's more like, how does one calculate the effects of that? How do you guard against becoming so wrapped up? I mean, a lot of news can be generated by the locality you're in. If you're in New York, people you run into. I mean, the number of stories that get generated for editors by having to, run into somebody at a reception, at a panel, this or that. You have to really be much more on guard to prevent yourself from getting locked up in that bubble and compensating and making sure that you have people out in different regions. And it's also different classes, too. And we can talk about that maybe later on. But I think that the question of regional disparity of coverage is very much linked to this notion of the media being sort of a certain class of people who don't come in contact with people sort of in other rungs of society.
What about changes in broadcasting? For example, in the old days, the Lone Ranger came out of Detroit. Chicago was a major broadcast center. Now I think the only major show, at least in commercial broadcasting, is Oprah coming out of Chicago. Some people say Jerry Springer, but then other people say, well, I don't know if that's major broadcast. Still, there isn't a heck of a lot. Is the sense living in the Midwest, Tori, that most of the news is not coming from local media sources?
I think if you look at, I think when Michael and I were talking about this, we're probably looking mostly at the major news organizations here. We're talking about television news networks. We're talking about the major players on the newspaper, magazine scene. Those people, by and large, don't always reflect what it is that I've seen in the Midwest since I moved away from New York. And I think that's part of where this discussion, at least between Michael and myself, started, was that I was a New York media executive for 10 years in the New York City area. I'm a New York native, and I pursued an academic career, came to the Midwest, and suddenly I'm watching shows like The Today Show and going, boy, this is nothing what life is like now for me or the people around me. And so there's kind of a disconnect that I think you see, at least at the national level. I mean, certainly there's plenty of news being generated by papers stationed in the Midwest, the Associated Press and other news agencies covering the Midwest. But to the extent that the national news organizations sort of set the agenda, is what we talk about in academia, for what it is that the nation is going to think about, the nation is not necessarily thinking about what's going on in the Midwest. And the question becomes, well, how important is that or not?
So what happens is when there's a big story in the Midwest, we go to the local media outlets, whether in newspapers, the Toledo Blade or the Des Moines Register, and the same thing happens in broadcasting, and then that's the end of that.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we mentioned the decline of manufacturing, and that to me is a prime example of a story that gets some coverage, and as Tori was saying, in the business section, we see that. It was so striking to me when I was visiting Bowling Green, where Tori is based. You know, the long-term social and economic and even cultural impact that the decline in the auto industry was having out there. And I find that in our newspapers, our national newspapers, or even on TV, the network news, it tends to get ghettoized into these business sections. And so it's sort of, can Ford turn around? Can it sort of come up with new models that will compete with Toyota, as opposed to, like, my God, our entire upper Midwest, a key part of our heartland, is just suffering the ripple effects in the housing market, as Tori was mentioning, in sort of people coming out of school and having trouble getting jobs and depopulation of these areas, the whole deindustrialization. I mean, on one level, it's an old story, but I really am frustrated reading my national newspapers and not finding more about really the effects on the communities out there that this is having.
You say in your article that higher education would be covered differently if the Midwest got more focus in the media.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in New York, like if you read the New York Times and other places, there's such an emphasis on, like, well, can my kids get into a good nursery school so that they will then get into a good primary school and so work their way into good colleges, and stories about kids at elite schools and so on, and the pressures they're under, and all that's legitimate. But so many people are out there struggling just to sort of go to a community college and then go from there into maybe make it into a four-year college and the loans that they have to take out. I mean, again, I'd like to see more coverage of that.
So, Tori, what are some of the other pressing stories in your region that you feel are being given short shrift?
Well, I think besides certainly, yeah, higher education and public education in the Midwest, Michael mentions, and we agreed, issues of religion, which I think sort of receive attention at the national level, but somewhat from a academic or, just interesting perspective, and not so much as it affects Midwesterners, how it is that sort of the heartland of the country follows religion. I mean, it's not all about religious zealots, and I think sometimes there's a perception, and I can speak as a former New Yorker here, that, you know, perhaps the Midwest and other regions of the country, we've got people who are maybe a little too focused on their religion, a little less focused on the rest of the world. And I, having lived here, kind of see something different, where religion is really about a community building exercise and an effort to kind of improve things that are going on here. I think the big story that's emerging here lately is starting to get coverage, at least in the Midwest, but I would love to see more on the national level, is sort of the opportunities for alternative energies. And I'm not talking so much here about ethanol, but I'm talking about wind energy. The Midwest has the number of wind farms that are popping up all over the Midwest are increasingly, there's just more of them than we've seen in recent years. They've become very successful, and there's a push at many state levels to kind of invest more in wind energy. But to the extent that the national scene could care less about that, those type of investments don't necessarily happen. You know, when the national news media chime in, sometimes that helps, quite frankly, you know, the businesses to feel they can push harder for the money they need. There are other stories. I mean, even this sort of goes along with the energy story, and that is there's sort of a, to some extent, I would call a cultural state of denial, to borrow Bob Woodward's term, about sort of the decline of the Rust Belt. There's you know, there's just a sense that we can come back, we can come back. And there's a piece of me now, having lived in three regions of the country, wondering if that indeed can be the case. So
what
there
about
are others, but those are some.
What about the way we look at each other? I know that sometimes when I've been in other parts of the country, people have talked about New York in a way that I have found kind of insulting. You know, how can you live there? And then they give me all sorts of terrible things about New York. But I think it works the other way as well. I think people in the East especially, but maybe Los Angeles and San Francisco as well, would look on Midwesterners as being slightly foreign, slightly exotic. And that's where this blue state, red state thing seems to have come into serious play. Is that part of the problem, Michael?
Well, it's interesting. When my article came out, I saw somebody on a blog commented on it and actually was sort of saying, oh, here's an example of somebody who actually is pigeonholing people in the Midwest and saying they're into religion so much and they're all like, with their communities are all full of jobless people going to community colleges. So I realized that maybe I was a little bit myself, as I said in my article, gee, I was parachuting in for a brief time, but yeah, maybe that itself is a reflection of the lack of sort of layered coverage that we get and sort of the diversity that is out there. And also somebody pointed out to me, you know, the immigrant story out there is incredible. The number of people going out to work in some of the factories out there, coming from Mexico and elsewhere, and you don't really think of that element of the Midwest that much.
Tori, what are your students at Bowling Green State University's journalism program telling you?
I hear, you know, I hear mixed things, and one of the concerns on the part of state leaders in Ohio has to do with what they term the Ohio brain drain. There's an enormous concern that, you know, because the jobs are not here, once students are coming out of colleges in Ohio, they're running to places like the Northeast and the coasts, and so, you know, these leaders worry about the future of the state. On a personal level, I see more of a mixed response. We have a whole generation of people who, and our national media have covered this to some extent, but this new generation of college graduates are very concerned. They're obviously concerned about money, as we all are, but they're also very concerned about their time. And I think, you know, they still really value the kind of nice homespun lifestyle that many of them have had here. And so I just had a student come back from New York, as a matter of fact, today, who had done an internship at a major public relations firm there and was really grateful for the experience, had a wonderful time being there, and did her best to kind of educate the folks at this firm about what life is like in Ohio for a college student, but questioned whether in the long term, you know, she wanted to go to a major city and, you know, kind of live out that media dream that folks at the larger media journalism programs look for. So, you know, one of Michael's arguments had to do with the fact that maybe we need to be putting, you know, more people from other parts of the country into what is a heavily, you know, Northeast focused media establishment. And I think that that may be one step in the right direction. The question is, you know, whether the students themselves see that as something they want to do. And, you know, the reality is life is very nice and easygoing out here. I can't say that I miss the lines on the subway or any of the inconveniences of New York. But I do think there's some benefit in, you know, folks from the Midwest coming to the New York media establishment and bringing those kinds of that shared knowledge there, and to some extent vice versa. Without this kind of parachuting that we see coming from the New York media.
Now, what about the parachuting? Are there any major news bureaus in the Midwest? I'm assuming Chicago has
Chicago,
a few.
I think.
And that's it. So people are based in Chicago in the same way that they might be based in Paris and then go all around?
Yeah. The analogy I made in my article was that increasingly our news organizations are covering the Midwest as they do the Mideast, which is sort of a bureau in one place, Jerusalem over there and Chicago here. And it's not to say there aren't other bureaus elsewhere, but I think that the news business is being, just as it's being hit in many other ways and all these cutbacks are going on, I think that coverage of the region, the presence of these news organizations there, getting cut back tremendously, the amount of investigative journalism going on at the regional papers in the Midwest is getting cut back. And so this is all part of the sort of increasing difficulty our news organizations are finding in doing in-depth coverage of different regions and peoples.
Is that part of the problem, Tori, as newspapers suffer the news coverage we get from some of these great old Midwestern newspapers is cut back as well?
Oh, there's just no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind.
Cincinnati used to be a great place for journalism. Now it seems to have disappeared.
I think that they, you know, each individual town's paper is obviously under very different circumstances depending on the owner. The Blade is one of the, near where we are here in Bowling Green, the Toledo Blade. You know, and as a New Yorker, my first response was to go, oh, the Toledo Blade, I'm really going to read this. And in fact, I do, and they are able to, as still a privately owned family business, really able to kind of do some pretty good investigative journalism, but even that is sort of under duress right now. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a general concern. And I have a, I mean, I'm seeing it with my own graduates. I heard last week I've got a student down in Florida who's been hired by a mid-sized paper there for a full-time position and being told absolutely no benefits, no health care, no anything like that. And so these are the kinds of corners that, unfortunately, the newspapers are taking. And it really, you know, it has a ripple effect. The broadcasters look to the newspapers to help set their agenda. If we don't have the newspapers doing that kind of work, the question becomes who is going to do it. And we're seeing some of that take place on the Internet, some people taking the initiative to kind of push some of this investigatory work into Internet sites, Internet forums. But all of that is still remains to be seen how that's going to shake out.
Can I say something positive about public radio? After all, Minnesota Public Radio produces some of the most widely heard programming in the country.
Yes.
And one of the most popular shows in public broadcasting, This American Life, comes out of Chicago, Garrison Keillor out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. So perhaps.
And these shows are enormously popular, you know, around where I am here. So
because they do reflect local attitudes?
I think there's a piece of that, yes, I think so. I guess the thing I keep thinking of as a former New York executive is if I'm sitting in my office in 30 Rock or I'm wondering, you know, how is it that I'm going to combat what has become this increasingly fractured media climate we're in? I've got to capture more viewers in a climate where so many other types of media are competing for attention. To the extent that I sound and look like I am only from New York or I am only from Boston and my life is only about what's going on in New York and Boston and those concerns, and I'm talking both cultural, business, you know, you name the area of the news, the national news organizations are doing themselves a disservice. Their businesses, they'll continue to see these declines in viewership, I think, without some attention paid to parts of the country where there's another way of life, frankly. So,
well, just to end this, Michael, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal are national newspapers. Are they really just ignoring a major part of their potential market?
No,
is USA Today doing
a
better job?
I definitely think that the market imperative has a role in shaping coverage that often media critics say overlook. And in the New York Times in particular, I mean, look, the Times is still an excellent paper, and I give them a lot of credit for their getting out and doing much more than other papers do. But they definitely see their future as a paper going toward well-off. They want younger people like everyone else, and I think that there's a hip element to sort of the market that they see. So, for instance, in their coverage of culture, in their coverage even of business, you find a lot about the sort of the whole high tech world, the internet, not avant garde, but sort of things that are on the cutting edge. I think that's the sort of mentality, and I think that that's where they see their affluent audience. Advertisers want that. You know, obsession with people from 25 to 49, the ratings, getting that particular audience. The Times really reflects that in their coverage of television. And I think they themselves have the mentality that that's the market they want, hip young people. And
none of them live in the Midwest?
Yeah, well, a lot of them do, certainly. And I don't want to be accused of being guilty of stereotyping, but I do think that those papers tend to be coastal in their orientation.
I want to thank you both so much for being with us, Michael Massing, whose article about the thinning coverage of the Midwest is in the current issue of the Columbia Journalism Review, And Tori Ekstrand, who's assistant professor of journalism at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Thank you both so much for being on Underreported today.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you.